This is the NCARB podcast, where you get an inside look at licensure, regulation, and the initiatives shaping the future of architectural practice. I'm your host, Andy McIntyre, Vice President of Marketing and Communications at NCARB. And this season, we're diving into Pathways to Practice, NCARB's multi-year effort to rethink how architects become licensed.
Architecture is the hardware to the software of life, right? It is fundamentally about that interaction, and it makes life easier if we have a built environment that works.
Across 8 episodes, we'll explore how licensure got to where it is today and where it needs to go next. We talk with architects, educators, regulators, and NCARB leaders about education, experience, and the exam, and why each of those pillars is evolving.
And that portion of school where you go from conceptual to real is also really challenging. It's not something you're really gently moved into. It's kind of like you're doing something that's flowy and crazy, and all of a sudden, wait, you actually have to make this work.
You'll hear how the NCARB competency standard was developed, how research is shaping future licensure models, and what a more flexible, competency-based approach could mean for candidates from a wide range of backgrounds.
So we've seen that in our data as the number of reciprocal licenses starts to decrease a little bit, but that number of individuals who are licensed holds steady.
We also tackle the big questions. Why does licensure look the way it does today? Where do candidates face the biggest barriers? And how can we expand access without lowering standards?
Not everybody fits into the same mold. And so having different pathways to licensure, I think, is really important.
Whether you're a licensure candidate, an educator, a firm leader, or a regulator, this season offers clarity, context, and transparency into one of the most important conversations facing the profession.
Does this requirement to complete all divisions of the exam place an unfair burden on any one group or other?
This is Pathways to Practice, only on the NCARB podcast. Please follow the link in the show notes, subscribe now, and join us as we explore the future of architectural licensure.
Hey, it's Mark Arla Page, and I want to personally invite you to the Entree Architect Meetup at the AIA National Conference in Boston this June. This special event hosted by Entree Architect and Gable Media is open to all small firm architects, whether you're attending the conference or not. You don't need to be going to the conference. You can just come and hang out with us. Last year, over 100 architects joined us, and we're doing it again. Same energy, same amazing community. Grab your ticket and get all the details at entrearchitect.com/AIA25. AIA25, entrearchitect.com/AIA25. I'd love to see you there. My name is Mark Arla Page, and you are listening to Entree Architect Podcast, where each week I speak with inspiring, passionate people who share their knowledge and expertise, all to help you build a better business as a small firm entrepreneur architect. My guest today is Fallon Scott, founder of F28 and Company, a strategic advisory firm dedicated to helping small businesses streamline their operations, boost their financial performance, and build smarter marketing strategies for long-term growth. Fallon is a CPA and a proud Baylor alum with experience spanning Fortune 500 companies, startups, and innovation-focused ventures. She's passionate about increasing profitability and efficiency while keeping people at the heart of the business. I'm excited to dig into her story and learn how she helps entrepreneurs like us thrive. Fallon Scott, welcome to Entree Architect Podcast.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me. I'm really excited to be here. I know it's been scheduled for a while, so the day is here.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to this conversation. You and I love business. We love helping others grow, and that's what we're going to talk about today. We're going to talk about business and how small firms and small businesses can thrive. But before we do that, I want to learn about you. I want you to share your origin story. So when did you discover your passion for what you do, and who or what inspired you to get started?
I think it was definitely serendipitous, divine, whatever you want to call it. I did the traditional, you go to school, you go to Baylor, you get the degrees. I got my business degree in undergrad and my master's in accounting. I got my CPA exam and started working in Big Four public accounting. So if you guys are familiar with KPMG, PwC, all that. So I started my career there. And then, you know, I remember my teacher, one of my accounting professors, shout out to Ms. Becky Jones, pulling me aside one day and said, Fallon, you know, accounting is the language of business. If you know accounting, you'll have to really understand the business holistically. And I'm like, okay, lady. And she was right. So once I left KPMG, I went to Delta Airlines. And at the time, they did not have an internal audit team. I was one of the first people on that team. So that's when I really started auditing holistically operations and really finding gaps across the entire business. Vendors, you know, I would have to go to Manila 1 month or go over here. And it was really looking at something holistically. And I think that's where I really started to say, I really like this. I'm a fixer and a finder kind of by nature. And I want to find these issues and fix them. But naturally, as an auditor, you find the gaps and you report on them. And then you have to leave it with someone else to fix. I did not like that because I want to finish the thing. So I left and I eventually started my own agency to optimize and help small business owners kind of bring that more corporate, those systems and strategies and SOPs to these people that were really smart with their photography or engineering or whatever their consulting business that they did, but they maybe didn't have like the acumen, right, to set up systems and operate, you know, in a way that would help them scale, not burn out, you know, do all the things that we see a lot of small business owners struggling with, disjointed systems that don't talk to each other. Oh, I manually sent this contract over here, but I forgot I sent it, but I forgot to get it back before I started the project. And now I'm 6 months in and I have a client from hell and I'm, you know, at risk and exposed, right? So I think Delta kind of helped me to really see, I want to help people, but I don't want to just tell them the issue. I really want to help them kind of implement and see that thing through, you know, to execution. So that's kind of how that happened.
So what inspired you to focus on small firms, right? You start out in this really large accounting firm, move to a really big company, Delta Airlines, learn a whole lot about business and what you like and what you don't like. And then when you leave that, you start a practice that helps small business. What was the inspiration to focus on that?
So in between my agency and Delta, I did network marketing for a while. And I grew that company. I ended up having about 6,000 distributors worldwide on my team. And many of them were small business owners that were doing this for additional income. So I had, you know, a lawyer on my team. I had a lot of people. My story was that I had a lot of student loan debt. I got a really great scholarship to go to Baylor, but it's private and it's just expensive. So I had six figures in student loan debt, which is why I started the network marketing as what I thought was going to be, oh, just make a couple, $2,000 a month. And it ended up replacing and ultimately quadrupling my old Delta salary. So I started doing that full time. So that's when I really met a lot of small business owners and kind of connected the, oh, these people are really smart, but they need enterprise level systems and an entrepreneurship kind of level.
Yeah.
And an entrepreneurship scale. You're too small for Salesforce, right? But there are CRMs and systems that we can implement for you in this way. So it's kind of bridging the gap for those people is kind of really how that started. And honestly, just also my transition from corporate to small business owners and really understanding and frankly living in their shoes of like doing all the things. What systems, how can we leverage technology to put certain things in place to free you up? You know, so that you can actually operate in your zone of genius, right? And propel the business forward.
You, as a small business consultant and coach, or you come from a very unique position where you have this experience at very large firms and then, you know, engage with small practices and small companies. What would you say are some of the key lessons that you learned in that corporate world that you now bring to the small companies?
I say the first one is that I was really shocked at the level of, you know, kind of problems that you will still see in a large corporation. Some of the things that I would expect to only be in small and medium businesses, you find, but in a more exacerbated scale with larger businesses. And one of the things that I saw so easily, especially when you have a global company like Delta, you know, you've got what they call stations, you've got airports, right? So everyone's doing something different. You've got different jurisdictions. You've got, they do it this way in India and all that. So it's really easy for processes and all those things to, again, not talk to each other and work very concurrently, which you would think, I would think that they didn't happen like that. You would think, oh, this is how it works in a small company because they've got 5 employees and everything lives in Sue's head and Bob's head and they never made SOPs. Well, guess what happens? When that company does really well and they grow exponentially and they still didn't have the time or the team or the technical expertise to put those things in place, you just become a really big company with the same type of issues that smaller companies have. That experience almost taught me, or I almost wanted to reverse engineer, right? So that didn't happen. So I was really big on, let me map your entire sales process. What is everything that happens in your customer journey? And I have them all on my big wall here still. What is every task or thing that's done? What should be automated? What should be eliminated? What are things that you're doing that you just don't need to do? What needs to be delegated? What needs to be consolidated, mitigated, et cetera? What are those risks? And so when you're able to look at everything holistically and figure out how to optimize it, it keeps you from, you're still going to have areas of optimization always and continuous improvement, but it keeps you from kind of going out of control, right? With this becoming a super large corporation with a lot of gaps. So I tried to kind of create my agency to reverse engineer and mitigate that and say, hey, let's get it together while you're small. The problem is, while you're small, you don't have time. That's what I heard. I don't have time, Fallon. Right. I don't have time to sit down and get this process out of my head. Or like, I'm not sure what I do. I just do it every day. Or, you know, so that has been a challenge. A lot of times with business owners, they know that it's valuable and they know that some of these things need to be done. They just don't have or make the time to do it because it doesn't seem as important as I've got to go get this next round of funding, or I've got to go do this thing. I've got to go make this hire immediately because Patty Sue just left, right? And so these other impending fires always keep people from establishing a foundation that will keep them from some of the bigger issues that you see down the road.
When you first start with a new client, let's say it's an architecture firm, how do you typically start? Do they come to you with a problem, or do you do an assessment and analysis of their business?
Both. So oftentimes people come to me with a very specific issue. I have this issue and someone told me I've got to come to you, and we start there. But and a lot of people just know I'm a CPA, but again, I was on the audit side. The very first thing that you had to do as an auditor was ask questions and frankly, build rapport to break down people's walls, right? When people heard the auditor is coming, that is not a good sign ever.
And so yeah,
every time I would leave an engagement, someone would say, oh my God, you were the nicest auditor, or you were so cool. And it's like, look, I need you to be transparent with me. Walk me through what's really going on. What do you like? What do you not like? You're not going to go tell your boss, but if I understand what's going on, I'm going to be the person that might be able to be the change agent for you, right? To say, hey, Molly Sue has been telling you that the system doesn't work forever. And she's right, right? And so once I would phrase it in that way, people began to open up. And it's the same thing. Hey, I understand you just met me today, or maybe you were referred from another client, but I've got to really just understand what's under the hood. Help me help you. So a lot of times it really is just that conversation. We do have an assessment that we walk them through, because the other big thing is you don't know what you don't know. And so there's some people, again, that come and say, oh, I know I have an SEO problem, or I heard on Mark's podcast that I should be doing this thing and I'm not doing it, so I'm coming to you for it. But often, not often, pretty much every time, there are interdependencies. So you may know that you have, you know, a marketing issue, but then that bleeds over to sales. Well, that bleeds over to your delivery and operations, and that may bleed over into your team and how that's structured. So you may think that you're coming for one thing, but my brain goes, oh, that triggers that and that, and that's connected to that system, and this is connected to this. Do you have a customer loyalty or retention program in place so that if you're having an issue and your business is super cyclical and you don't have time to generate leads, and then by the time you finish a project, you don't have anything in the funnel, how can we take the people that loved your work and create something so that they're bringing in new people while you're doing this work, right? To kind of level out some of that. So it's, my brain goes 80 million different ways from that initial conversation of, tell me what you think the issue is. And then I'm going to probe and kind of do my auditor consulting thing and try to dig as many layers deep, peel as many onions back and say, okay, this is where I believe the issues lie. Now let's prioritize, because you can't do everything, right? Whether it's human resource, whether it's financial resource, what is having the biggest negative impact, or what's going to have the, if we fix this one thing, it's going to start the domino effect of going across different functional areas or whatever your business goals or objectives are. So that's kind of where I want to start. What are your issues and where do you want to be? And then let's figure out what's keeping you from getting there. And if we can't solve it, getting you, like I said, connected to the right solution provider to have them come and step in and get that started for you.
Yeah. I love that you have that network that you can work with them to the level of your expertise, but then you don't just have to sort of say, well, I can't help you there.
Correct.
You have this whole network of people that can help them.
Yeah, it was really important for me. So it's funny, because at the beginning I said, you know, I came from this audit world and it was like, I have to write this long report and like rank it red and medium and high and, you know, what's the worst? And I'm like, did they ever fix that thing? But you have to go on to the next audit. And so I really wanted to help on the execution side. And very transparently, when I started running my agency, and it, you know, it did well, and we started as operations, then we merged and we were doing marketing and we were also doing recruiting. I looked up one day and said, how did I get here? I've got this whole team and this whole staff and I'm doing all this stuff in-house, and pandemic hit. And then I started having babies back to back. I had a couple of kids and I was like, I like doing this, but I don't think I envisioned it in this way. So I'm very excited to be working with this ecosystem of experts and partners of, hey, I'm going to come in and help you do this thing, but now I don't have to manage this in-house team and these projects and all of that. I know that these partners have vetted. Oh, you need this type of marketing. This is exactly who you need to go to. You need a tax strategist. You don't need a full-time CFO, right? You need a fractional CFO. You've got a great bookkeeper. But hey, you actually need a tax strategy. You might be missing out on R&D credits. You need to go talk to this partner immediately and make sure that you can get that dollar for dollar credit. So I know a lot. I was going to say, I know a little about a lot. I know a little bit more than a little about a lot of areas, but I don't have to be the person to execute. And that really goes back to, again, Ms. Becky Jones. Accounting is the language of business. You got to know some marketing. You got to know, in order to even audit and look through all of these different areas during those audit consultation and audit interviews, I can't come into Delta Cargo. Was one of my biggest projects, if you will. I worked on that audit for about 3 or 4 years. Our cargo division had never been audited before. It had just reached $1 billion in revenue, which was finally large enough to become in scope to get audited at Delta. And it was such an eye-opening experience because I had never heard of like an airweight bill. And I mean, how they ship animals over and people that pass and get shipped in the belly of the plane and just processes around that, procedures, what systems are used, again, jurisdictions and just restrictions on how goods exchange from country to country or locale to locale. And it was the depth of research that we had to do. I remember the first 2 or 3 months, it was just going to JFK and LAX and Amsterdam and Malaysia just to gather the information on how this thing works before you can audit it, right? And so that level of depth is why I feel confident, but yet humble to say, I know a little about a lot of things, because you have to in order to give an assessment to say, oh, this thing is not working in the way that it's intended. So I find so much joy in being able to really take that off of the business owner's shoulder. You just kind of pour your problems on me. Let me know what's going on and I'll do the puzzle piecing and say, ah, these are where everything is missing and here's how we can put it back together.
Can you share an example of someone that you worked with that came with a struggle and you helped them transform to a solution?
We had a client pretty early on looking to scale her business. I think she was doing maybe 300 to 500K or so when we came, and she was in the marketing space. And she, the way that she was doing her launches, it was very, again, it was very cyclical. And I said, hey, I know that in order to get certain funding, in order to relieve stress on yourself, you need to find a way to have a consistent revenue model, a predictable, right, revenue model. And this is just causing you, you know, too much stress. You don't know if you could pay yourself. You don't know when to hire. Like this one issue, again, is causing, oh, now you overhired, but now you don't have money to do payroll. And so I basically looked at everything she was doing and said, you know what? We need to restructure your entire model, revenue. What you're doing is great. The coaching that you're delivering, you know, how you're doing these services for clients. Let's restructure this. So we created an entire new, almost like subscription-based model for all of these followers and customers and clients that she had to create this revenue stream. But then they could still add on certain, you know, services. She also sold products. And so it was a way to like create a multiple ladder or channel streams of revenue that we can make sure are being promoted and whatever on schedule at a certain time. Okay, we need people to come in and do this. You need people for this type of service. And you can actually create a budget for your team, your expenses, and actually just really take more control over everything in your business, from how you're gathering leads. What are you even going to talk about? I love alliteration. So I have a bunch of C's, you know, of the sales process. What type of content are you putting out to capture your leads? Once you do that, what system do you have in place to convert them? Are you getting on sales calls? Do they have to use Calendly? Is there a quiz they have to take? You know, once you convert them, what are your contracts look like in order to, you know, protect yourself and receive payment, et cetera. Once you do that, you know, so we have all these things. I was able to just kind of go C by C and piece by piece and just really level that out, you know, for her. And then by the time we finished working together the next year, she had crossed over $1 million in revenue and has continued to grow. But more than that, her peace. I remember her telling me, I really want to get pregnant. I really want to have a baby. I really want to have a life and be able to be there for my partner. And right now I'm not able to do that. So yes, I want to help get the business in order and help it to grow. And we did that, which is what the F in F28 co-stands for, giving smaller businesses their freedom back. You shouldn't build a business just for you to suffocate yourself, you know, and working. How can we create something that's scalable where you can enjoy, you know, your life?
Let's take a quick break to say thank you to our sponsors for their support of this episode. Gain lessons learned and credits earned with Arcademy, RCAT's continuing education program. Listen to popular episodes of the Detailed podcast and earn AIA-approved HSW credits. Yes, you heard that right, HSW credits for episodes of Detailed podcast. Listen to an episode, check out the learning objectives, and use what you've learned while listening to take the course. The program is free, it's simple, and can be found at rcat.com under the Resources tab. Or just go to rcat.com/arcademy. That's arcat.com/arcademy. That's rcat.com/arcademy. Please visit our sponsors today and thank them. Thank them for supporting you, the Entree Architect community. Well, you gave us the F. What's the 28?
So 28 is where I had my big shift. That's when I left Delta and merged into entrepreneurship and kind of had my pivot moment where I kind of became who my future client would be. And so F28 is kind of a merging of those things.
I love that your background comes from this financial background and auditing, because I think, and I said this before, that it makes you a very unique person in this market. I assume that when you do that analysis, where you're sort of going through the business and looking at all the different pieces of a small practice or a small firm, architecture firm, you sort of have a checklist of some sort, right? You know what you need to look at. Can you share a little bit of that for the people who are listening and they want to go through their business and do their own self-assessment? What are the high-level checklist items that they need to be looking at to make sure that their companies are running smoothly?
It's quite a bit, right? So I'll start really quickly with the kind of those 8 areas that we look at, because I think most people can identify, even if they're not an expert, they can identify. So first is your sales and marketing. Then we've got your tech, IT, digital security, transformation. And that may be something, again, as simple as what little systems, you know, are you using? It doesn't have to be big tech. Strategic financial management. So that's everything from tech strategy, credits, finances, your CFO, you know, all those different things and what's happening there, your cash flow analysis, all of that. Then you've got legal risk and compliance, which is, again, as an auditor, that risk and compliance piece is huge. And again, this isn't necessarily oftentimes the big stuff. You know, am I compliant with certain codes and things like that I have to do in my business? It's the little places that really trip you up. And then operations and process optimization. And then another huge one, people and organizational development, or HR. We look at that. And then the other two that aren't really a functional area, growth and capital funding. How can I get more money, right, to expand my business, whether it's hire, et cetera. And then succession and exit planning, whether you plan to sell, merger and acquisition, all in that kind of space. And so we pretty much have a list of multiple questions in each. So we actually have a short version, like a 2-minute assessment, and then we have a deeper dive. We really are able to say, hey, in marketing, it may be as simple as, are you embarrassed to send people to your website, right? Or it might be a lot deeper of, if you have a team and you're trying to shift from founder-led sales, I get all the sales from my relationships, from my passion, it's my business, I'm the one that can bring clients in, that's great. But when you need capital or when you need to sell, you now have key man risk. So this company's not going to want to purchase you, or they will at a smaller multiple if you're the person that's been driving sales. So what can we do to make sure that we can create a system to generate leads and close sales? Do you need to bring in a sales team? What SOPs do they need? What systems? How are we going to track? So you can prove, you know, during that time, hey, this business can run, you know, without me. So there's several questions that we will look at across each of those sectors. Do you have high turnover, right? amongst your team? Do you have a great team, but you're lacking kind of that corporate, or it's time to start bringing that executive level of leadership? You've got to move beyond a bunch of executors and doers, and you want to make sure that you have the right team and culture fit. So there's a lot. There's a lot of questions and checklists, again, within each, but there's about 3 to 4 questions within each. Not like it's 100 questions, but enough questions within each section to begin the conversation and figure out where those gaps are. We don't get too technical. We want people to easily identify, oh, yes, this is my issue. This is my pain point in this area. We can go deeper and then kind of rank and prioritize where they should focus.
After you do that with your small companies that you work with, are there common pitfalls and common weaknesses that you see happening over and over again that many of us are doing wrong?
Yeah, I think from an operations standpoint, I think the biggest one that I see is no SOPs, no documentation on how things should be done. And I get it.
Yeah.
Boring. No one wants to do it. It is literally, I used to work at Chick-fil-A in high school. It is how you scale. It is how you duplicate. It is how you ensure the exact same customer experience every time. It's when you answer the phone, you say this. When you deliver X to a client, you do that. When you hire, you onboard in this way. There should be a way that you do things. And it's fine, especially for small business owners. There's going to be trial and error. You're going to figure it out. Guess what? They have this amazing thing called editing. You can edit your SOP as things change. You know, people get so worried about, I spent this time, or I hired this consultant, or I recorded all these videos while I was doing the thing, but like, we made this change. Just update it. But you've got something to start with. And even if, I think so many small business owners, the other big thing I see, they don't think about the end. They don't think about, have the end in mind. What do you want this to be? Where do you want this to go when you're 65?
Yeah.
Maybe you started something when you're 40, and by the time you're 55, you're over it. Maybe you're happy, but you're like, they don't think about the succession plan. I've seen so many businesses shut down because they just, when they got burned out, they had not reverse engineered and worked with anybody to say, what position does my company need to be in? And often that goes back to those SOPs. What do you do and how do you do it? If you have that, you can hand it over to anyone that thinks that it is valuable, and you can retain a piece of equity ownership or whatever and make sure that what you've built is not just gone. You know, you don't have to necessarily pass it down to your children if you have them or what have you. So I think that for me is the biggest one on the operation side. That pitfall just affects so many things. Even if you decide never to sell and stay in your business forever, you still need to know how to operate. I think missing out on money is a big one. And it's not just R&D credits. I think from a couple of different angles, I see people overhire. They get so overwhelmed and they just want to take it off. Or especially nowadays, maybe they went viral, or I knew someone who had an apparel company. They got on Oprah's Favorite Things or something like that. And their infrastructure just wasn't set up right to, so it's a good problem to have, but you want to be ready when those things come. And so I think missing out on money from not having infrastructure in place that if you take off, you can support it. Missing out on money when it comes to tax strategy, again, if it's an R&D credit or 179D deduction or whatever that looks like, you've been misinformed. Oh, you don't qualify. A lot of very well-meaning CPAs are used to, for example, the old R&D rules. Well, the rules have changed and it's a very, very, very nuanced credit. So you may have been informed by a CPA, a friend, another architect or engineer that said, oh no, that thing is not worth it. And it's like, actually, there's new technology now where you can get your credit in 2 weeks instead of 6 months, right? It's not this laborious thing. So missing out on money from sales that could have or should have come in, but you weren't set up properly. Missing out on tax strategies. Another big one that I see too, especially in the small business lane, we don't want to pay taxes, right? So we get a tax accountant or what have you to help us get all these expenses, get every expense that you can get so that my income is as small as possible. So I'm taxed favorably, but then you got to get capital or you got to get, you know, bought out, and you're showing less right income than what you actually really are worth. And again, the value that you've built. And so one of our partners, for example, they help identify something called add backs. There are like 35 or 40 different things, items, classifications that you can add back to your income. So for example, maybe you spent $10,000 or $15,000 on your website 1 year or one big expense. That's not something that's going to be reoccurring in the business. So there's a whole list of things that the tax code allows you to add back to increase your value if you're going to go and try to get certain funding, or if you're going to go and again, try to get valued for an exit or things like that. So again, I think it's just helping people identify all of those different gaps and areas, whether it's from a money standpoint or optimization. And again, a lot of times those overlap. So those are two that are close to my heart. We can get your SOPs and your systems together. The impact of that is so monumental. And then money, don't miss out on money that should be coming in, and do not overpay Uncle Sam more than he needs to be paid, because that cash can and should be reinvested right into your business, into some of the things that you need.
Do you have any advice on busy architects, small firms that know they need these SOPs but haven't yet developed them? What's the most efficient way for them to be able to do that?
I love that question. So I will send it over. I don't know if you have, I'm sure you do, like show notes or however we can get it out to them.
Yeah.
I have a link that I should share. It's a software called Loom, L-O-O-M, just like Zoom.
Sure. Yeah.
And I'm actually working with a client right now. We're doing some hiring for her, and she is bringing on some new people. And so right now she's doing most of everything. And she's like, okay, I've got to go do this. I've got to do this with my supply chain this week. I said, perfect. That's one of the things that you're going to be offloading, right? So she's going to be using Loom to just record. And as she does the task, you can talk to it. Loom AI will actually create an entire SOP for you once you're done recording the video.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that. I knew about Loom, but I didn't know that they've integrated AI to do that. What a great idea.
Yeah, newer feature. I've been using Loom for a couple of years. They're really new, but the AI has been maybe in the last 2 or 3 months. So that's the biggest tip that I tell people. As you're doing whatever you're doing, one of my other companies that I have, we just hired about 13 people in the past 3 months. And I was doing something on my phone one day. I pulled over, I was driving, and I was showing them how to process a refund or some type of payment in the CRM. And I said, I just screen recorded it on my phone. I have Loom on my phone. I quickly uploaded it into Loom. And then in our Slack, I have a channel that says onboarding. Every time there's something that I'm teaching, training, needing to show how to do, boom, it goes in that onboarding channel. And now I have somebody that can help us go turn it into like a real SOP. But anytime you're doing anything, record it. I don't care if it's a voice note, record it and utilize Loom as a way to just start getting what you do out. And we help people. We have a service and a template that we use just to help people brain dump. Kind of, we use those different C's. What do you do during this phase? What do you do during this phase? And it's just list out a bullet point list. Oh yeah, when someone comes to me, I have to do this. If they blah, 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 we send contracts in PandaDoc. If we do, just get it out. And then you can start to develop those steps underneath each of those main tasks. And then, like I said, we'll come in and say, oh, well, this and this are happening. That can be consolidated. Well, this is happening. Guess what? There's a tool. There's AI. There's a system. There's a workflow inside of Dubsado or HoneyBook that can do this step for you. But until you get it all out, you can't even see what you're doing and where you're spending your time and how we can optimize it. Because some things don't need to be on an SOP. Some things just need to be documented that this happens automatically over here and we can set that up.
We're back to editing.
We're back to editing.
So before we wrap up and ask you our final question, I know your background is finance, and so I wanted to ask you about metrics, but I want to know the one metric. So if there was one metric that you had to choose, because a lot of small firms aren't tracking metrics at all. So if there was one that they could set up and check on a monthly basis, what would it be?
Why would you do this to me? It's so funny. I just got back from Cabo. I went to a retreat with another business owner friend of mine, and we probably spent 3 hours going over all of our like KPIs and metrics and da-da-da-da from the team.
Yeah.
Gosh, I wish I could give at least two.
Well, give two and prioritize them.
Yeah, I will give two and prioritize. I will say you've got to know your conversion and your sales. Really kind of where are they coming from? What's working? So you can do more of that. You've got to track this conversion. And within conversion, it's where are the leads coming from? How are they converting? It's more than just that of what the percentage is.
How many prospects to projects?
Exactly, right? Because that's where everything starts. The other big thing, just because you bring in all the money, if you're not retaining it or creating a system on the back end to funnel it back around, and that for me, most people do not measure I mean, you can call it NPS or Net Promoter Score or whatever, but are your clients happy? Did you do a good job and did you deliver on what you sold? You can bring in revenue all day and you may not have a model or a product or business where there's retention. If you're a nail shop, yeah, you want to keep someone coming back every 2 weeks, right? That may not be your model. My other company, we have a photography studio turned wedding venue. Well, you're really probably only going to use us to get married. You may come back for your kids 1 year, you know, pictures or your Christmas photos, but you're not going to come every week. But what can you do once you've earned trust? Can they give you the Google review? Can they go and do this? Can you create some type of retention or loyalty or referral program to take people and turn them into your ambassadors? I am so huge on turning the people that you've already built their trust. And if you did a good job and delivered on what you said, create a system to go make them bring you more clients to increase those sales. You got to make some money first, but then you've got to deliver. So for me, it's kind of those three key phases to really keep your business sustainable.
I love it. That's great advice. All right. Final question. What's one thing that a small firm architect can do today to build a better business for tomorrow?
I really think it starts with that assessment. I think coming in to have someone else look in your business holistically and just say, let's figure out where the growth gaps are, what's not converting, what's not working, you're likely too deep in the weeds. You may have, again, you may know what that looks like, but I think coming in, getting an assessment, if it's not with me, just get in front of someone that can help you identify where those gaps are. You can't fix what you don't know is broken. So that's really where you start. Because if I tell you, start with marketing, start with sales, start with R&D, that's great. But let's look holistically first, and then let's get the plan. So that would be the next step. Take that quiz or get the consultation so that you can make an informed decision on what you think is best to move and accelerate your business forward.
What's the best way that they can reach out and contact you directly?
Yep. They just go right to our website, f28co.com. All those things are on there. The assessment's on there if you want to book a consult directly, and we can get you started.
All right. Her name is Fallon Scott. The company again is F28&Co, and the website is f28co.com. Go check it out. Go say hi to Fallon. Let her know that you're coming from Entree Architect. And Fallon, thank you. Thanks for all that. What a great story. First of all, I love hearing my guests' stories. You have a great story. And thanks for sharing your knowledge today and inspiring our community at Entree Architect Podcast.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me. Look forward to working with you all.
If you liked this episode of Entree Architect Podcast, please share a link to this episode with a friend. Either just click the share button or highlight the URL and send the link to this episode with a friend, because that's how Entree Architect has grown to serve thousands more architects just like you. Throughout the 10 plus years of Entree Architect, that's how we've grown, architect to architect. So I would love for you to share this episode and all the episodes with one friend every week. We'd love that. And thank you to our sponsors for this episode. We don't have an episode if there's no sponsors. So thank you to our sponsors. Links to those sponsors, which you should go visit and click, and all the resources that we discussed today for this specific episode, they are all available at entrearchitect.com/podcast. Every episode that we've recorded is there, entrearchitect.com/podcast. Go click the links to the sponsors and say hello. Entree Architect is a member of the Gable Media Podcast Network. You should go visit that at gablemedia.com. That is the next evolution of interactive media and resources for the AEC community. You can now earn continuing education credits for listening to select episodes of this podcast, Entree Architect Podcast. Yes, AIA CEUs for listening to a podcast. It's there, and many other podcasts are there as well. And you can listen to all of them and get credit. Learn more about our program, Gable Members Program, at the gablemedia.com/members website. That's gablemedia.com/members. And if you are a small firm architect, join us today at Entree Architect Network. That is the worldwide organization for small firm entrepreneur architects. If you own your own architecture firm, you are an entrepreneur architect. You are an Entree Architect. With weekly live group business coaching, yep, we have business coaching there, monthly live business training with AIA CEUs, two a month, so 24 AIA credits per year, including 12 of those are HSWs. We have them in the membership. Business resources, all the resources you need to run your business, special session webinars, mastermind groups, and a thriving community of small firm architects just like you. Hundreds of architects are there waiting for you to join. So we provide the support and encouragement you need to succeed as a small firm architect. I know that you haven't been trained as a business person when you launched your firm. That's what we do. Come learn how to run a business at Entree Architect Network. And today you can go join right now for free for 30 days at this link, entrearchitect.com/30days. We'll give you free 30 days for membership. Go check it out at entrearchitect.com/30days, and I will see you there. Thank you for listening to this episode of Entree Architect Podcast. My name is Mark R. LePage, and I want you to remember three words: love, learn, share. Have a great day. Attention architects and creative minds, get ready to supercharge your brand with Build Your Brand, the podcast that's unlocking the secrets of branding success for creatives. Hey there, it's Mark R. LePage, founder of Entree Architect, and I'm inviting you to join my friend, architect marketing expert, Jeff Eccles at Build Your Brand podcast, where he explores the captivating stories of the world's top brands and transforms their lessons into powerful moves for small firm architects and creatives like you. In season one, Jeff shares the thrilling tale of Southwest Airlines, where he dissects their journey to the summit and distills it into strategies tailor-made for you.
It's important to keep in mind that companies like Southwest compete in the real world, just like you, and face real-world challenges, just like you. You might be surprised at how similar those challenges are to the struggles that you grapple with on a day-to-day basis.
Don't miss out on your blueprint for success. Subscribe, tune in, and let's build your brand together.
You may have noticed that the very best brands in the world are also known for having somewhat unique corporate cultures. That's often the glue that holds everything together when they encounter those rough spots.
We don't do it because it inconveniences the passengers to whom we are primarily dedicated, the short-haul frequent flyer.
Follow the link in the show notes to subscribe to Build Your Brand today. Remember, no matter the size, the journey's the same. Your brand's journey to the top starts here.
Imagine earning continuing education credits while doing exactly what you're doing right now. Well, you can. Gable Media has revolutionized the way you earn your continuing education credits with a groundbreaking approach. Forget running around town and scouring the internet for credit-worthy courses. Fulfill your CE requirements effortlessly by listening to engaging podcasts just like the one you're listening to now. Our podcasts are designed to educate, entertain, and inspire, all in a user-friendly environment. But wait, there's more. Architects, Gable Media is also approved as an AIA Continuing Education Services provider. Upon completion, we handle everything, from reporting your hours directly to the AIA to storing your certificates in your personal Gable Media profile for your self-reporting needs. So follow the link in the show notes and start earning your credits in the most innovative and entertaining way possible with Gable Media.